For decades, we've heard about the catastrophic effects of fossil fuel pollution. And for just as long, I've been hearing that global warming is a myth. The two sides are constantly at each other's throats. But it's a fight that's completely unnecessary. The technology to create unlimited, clean, free energy has existed for over 100 years. Dozens, perhaps hundreds of inventors have created machines that pull energy out of thin air. Machines that could defy gravity, levitate, and fly. Machines that bend the fabric of space-time itself. These machines sound not just like science fiction, they sound like magic. So where are these magical devices? Well, when the inventors patented and publicized their technology, they performed another magic trick. They disappeared. For years, certainly my whole life, we've heard how fossil fuel pollution is creating a runaway greenhouse effect. At some point, the ice caps will melt, the oceans will rise, and every coastline in the world will be underwater. What now?
When did it happen? When do we go underwater?
Well, that's hard to...
5 years, 20, 50?
You can't really quantify...
Oh, you can't quantify it, huh?
Look, I don't want...
Is Florida still there?
What do you mean?
Let me talk slowly so you can understand. Is Florida still there?
Last I checked, Florida is still there.
Thank you. I rest my case. Global warming is a myth.
It's not a myth. Look, this isn't a video about climate change.
Oh, look, global warming is not climate change.
My point is...
How dare you?
Look, do you want clean air?
Clean air? No, who cares?
Fine, but do you want clean water?
Well, yeah.
Right. The point of this episode isn't to argue one side of the climate debate or the other. The point of this episode is that debating, arguing, and fighting about it isn't necessary, and hasn't been for over 100 years. Since the 1920s, and perhaps even earlier, scientists have discovered many different ways of making energy less expensive and more efficient. However, in every single case, their technology was suppressed. And in many cases, the inventors died under strange circumstances.
Okay, you've got my attention now.
Charles Pogue was a Canadian mechanic and car tinkerer. In the early 1930s, he started experimenting with carburetors, trying to improve fuel efficiency. Now, if you're not a gearhead, a carburetor is a part of a gas-powered engine that mixes air and fuel for combustion. The mixture is then sent to the engine cylinders, where it's ignited to power the engine. Now, unlike traditional carburetors, which mix air with liquid gasoline, the Pogue carburetor fully vaporized gas before it entered the combustion chamber. This made the engine more efficient. Much more efficient. In 1936, Pogue was issued a patent for a high-mileage carburetor. This was his third iteration of the invention and his third patent. In early 1936, the Breen Motor Company tested the Pogue carburetor on a Ford V8 coupe. It got 26.2 miles on one pint of gasoline. That's almost 220 miles per gallon. Ford tested it. They got 200 miles per gallon. The Pogue carburetor was tested for Canadian Automotive Magazine. They reported 218 miles per gallon. Now, that article created a lot of excitement, but it wasn't good news for Charles Pogue. On the Toronto Stock Exchange, oil company stock prices crashed. Brokers were swamped with orders to dump all oil stock immediately. Soon after that, Pogue's shop was broken into. All carburetors, equipment, notes, and documents were stolen. He never built another one. He never spoke of the invention ever again.
Someone got to him.
That's the rumor. But carburetors aren't complicated. If one man figures out how to make an engine more efficient, others could do this too. And they did. But the oil companies did not forget about Pogue and the damage he almost caused. Fuel-efficient engines were not good for business. So the oil companies lobbied the U.S. government for help. And a few years later, in 1951, help arrived. The concept of patents can be traced back to ancient times, but the formal patent system that we know today came from Renaissance Europe. The first known patent law was enacted in Venice in 1474, and it was a revolutionary idea designed to encourage innovation. It offered inventors a temporary monopoly in exchange for sharing their inventions with society. But some inventions are legally patented and hidden from society. In 1951, the United States passed the Invention Secrecy Act. This allows the U.S. government to keep certain technologies and inventions secret, legally. If they decide something threatens the country's economy or security, it's stamped with a secrecy order and classified. The inventor can't speak about it, export it, or sell it, unless it's to the U.S. military.
Yeah, of course.
If the inventor violates these orders, they face imprisonment or, as we're about to see, consequences that are even worse. In the 1970s, Tom Ogle accidentally discovered a way to make an engine run on its own fumes.
I was messing around with a lawnmower when I accidentally knocked a hole in its fuel tank. I put a vacuum line running from the tank straight into the carburetor inlet. I just let it run, and it kept running and running, but the fuel level stayed the same. I got excited. The lawnmower was running without a carburetor and was getting tremendous efficiency.
That mower ran for 96 straight hours.
Whoa!
After a few months of trial and error, Ogle replicated his invention with his own car. His 1970 Ford Galaxy got 11 miles per gallon. But after a few modifications, it got 100 miles per gallon. In April 1977, Ogle drove the 4,000-pound car 205 miles on just 2 gallons of gas. Engineers inspected the car for hidden gas tanks and other gimmicks, but nothing was found. His technology worked. Ogle made the internal combustion engine do what it was designed to do, operate on fumes. He accidentally invented a version of Pogue's carburetor. Almost overnight, 24-year-old Tom Ogle became an engineering sensation. Oil companies, investors, and businessmen approached him with offers. People expected him to become a billionaire. Shell Oil offered him $25 million cash for the design. Ogle passed when he found out they intended to hide the invention forever.
I've always wanted to be rich, and I suspect I will be when this system gets into distribution, but I'm not going to have my system bought up and put on the shelf.
So Tom struck deals with investors who would let him control the invention and keep working. He filed for and received a patent. He had attorneys, money, all kinds of resources. Then the United States Air Force showed interest.
Uh-oh.
And that's when things went downhill.
Downhill, huh?
Yep. Suddenly the SEC was after him for violating securities laws. The IRS was after him for failing to pay back taxes. The next few months were a mess. Ogle's wife left him and took their daughter. Legal battles were everywhere. Investors were fighting for control of the patent. Then, on April 14, 1978, Ogle was shot by a stranger outside a bar. No suspect. But he survived.
But not for long?
No, not for long. On August 18th, he went to a friend's apartment where he collapsed and died. His death, which involved painkillers and alcohol, was ruled an accidental overdose, though Tom Ogle had no history of drug use. Ogle's friends, family, and attorney claimed this was a cover-up for murder. But the damage was done. Tom Ogle was gone, and his invention, despite the overwhelming evidence that it worked, was conveniently forgotten. Later that year, the U.S. and Saudi Arabia negotiated the United States-Saudi Arabian Joint Commission on Economic Cooperation. They agreed to use U.S. dollars for oil contracts. The petrodollar became the de facto currency of the world that day. This made the U.S. government much more powerful and made oil companies richer than ever. A few years later, Lieutenant Colonel Charles Brown, a former member of Project Blue Book, made a similar invention. He created a device that attached to the air intake of a vehicle, reducing emissions by 50 to 70% and increasing miles per gallon.
I treat air, and out of air, I make it more than just providing oxygen for the combustion process. There are combustion-stimulating molecules and radicals generated in this process. Thunderstorm in a bottle.
Now, even though the colonel's invention reduced emissions and cleaned the air, the EPA shut him down.
The Environmental Protection Agency is a bit of a dictatorial police agency. They call themselves a protecting agency, but they are a police agency. EPA cannot approve a fuel-saving device. They put out reams of documentation stating that something will not work.
Soon after, he received bomb threats. His lab was vandalized and everything was stolen. He lost his life savings and his work was stopped. Like Charles Pogue and Tom Ogle, Colonel Brown took his technology to his grave. These inventions still used gasoline and oil. They didn't necessarily threaten the fossil fuel industry, yet the government, or someone, still shut them down. So you can only imagine what happens when you invent a car that doesn't need gas at all.
Top our news here at 6 o'clock, an age-old dream becoming a reality. A local inventor has discovered a way, hear this, to use water to run your car.
Says the answer to dependence on foreign oil lies all around us.
A car that runs on water instead of gasoline.
The man who invented an engine that can run on water.
Any kind of H2O, he says, can power just about every type of engine.
He's come up with a device that will hook up to any engine and allow it to run on good old H2O.
Stanley Meyer.
He's been offered $1 billion in cash by oil-producing countries to sell his patent. So far, he hasn't sold.
Stanley Meyer did not keep his invention secret. He went straight to the news. His announcement made headlines across the country and around the world. He had invented a car that can run on nothing but water. The technology is called electrolysis. This is using electricity to split water into oxygen and hydrogen gas. Now, this isn't a new invention. In 1789, Jan Rudolf Diamond used an electrostatic machine to generate electricity from water that was then discharged to gold electrodes. And throughout the 19th century, various inventors and scientists created machines that could split water into oxygen and hydrogen. But there are a few problems. The process requires a lot of energy, and it requires perfectly pure water. No minerals, no chemicals, nothing. It has to be nothing but H2O. It's very hard to produce pure water. Not only do you need pure water for electrolysis, you need lots of it. Stanley Meyer's engine didn't require much water at all. Stan estimated that if he took his water-powered car from coast to coast in the US, it would use only 22 gallons of water. And the biggest breakthrough, it didn't need pure water. It could run on ordinary tap water. He called his invention a water fuel cell injector. The injector breaks water molecules into oxygen and hydrogen. The engine runs on hydrogen gas. He took his car on tour around the country. Engineers inspected it and they said it worked.
We recently took a scientific delegation to witness Stan's work, to really evaluate it, and came back saying, this is one of the most important inventions of the century.
Stan's tour got a lot of media coverage. This led to offers from investors and oil companies and even the Pentagon.
Pentagon? Yeah, let me guess. That's when things went downhill.
Yep.
Oh, no.
In 1998, Stan was at a restaurant with his brother and a few Belgian investors. They were about to sign a multi-million dollar deal, so they raised their glasses and made a toast to celebrate. Then Stan suddenly became violently ill. He ran out of the restaurant, fell down in the street, and started vomiting. His brother ran after him. Stan's final words were, "They poisoned me." But his death certificate doesn't reflect that at all. It says he was at lunch with officials from NATO and that he died of a brain aneurysm.
But if you read this statement, you can kind of tell that the coroner was already questioning whether he was actually poisoned or not, and just dismissed being poisoned as such a blatant lie and not true. I think a brain aneurysm is a very convenient way for somebody to die, and if they were poisoned, that can cause that.
Now, lots of people have heard of Stanley Meyer's water car, but what most people don't know is that the water-powered engine wasn't the only disruptive invention in Stan's garage. He also had a toroid-shaped...
Donut-shaped.
He had a donut-shaped electromagnetic device slapped with a national security order.
Even in my prior development of high technology, I've had patents taken from me. I learned from the School of Hard Knocks to be very cautious.
He was paranoid, and rightfully so. And that's why if you try to replicate the technology in Stan Meyer's patent, it won't work. He faked the voltage and frequency numbers to prevent another invention from being stolen or classified. But skeptics say it doesn't matter what numbers you use, the engine won't work. They say Stan's technology broke the second law of thermodynamics. That states that every time you transfer energy, energy is wasted. Stan's engine didn't waste energy at all, it created it. But that also violates the first law of thermodynamics, the conservation of energy. That states that energy cannot be created or destroyed. But what if those laws are completely misunderstood? That with the right technology, the laws of thermodynamics don't have to apply at all? Mainstream science doesn't like that idea.
Mainstream science can go pound.
Well, it turns out that Stan's water car was his least important invention. That donut-shaped device was another invention that created energy. And the reason it was classified? Well, it didn't run on gas. It didn't run on water. It ran on nothing. The vacuum of space is supposed to be empty, and at the temperature of absolute zero, it should be perfectly still. But quantum physicists discovered that empty space is not empty or still at all.
Is that so-called empty space isn't really empty at all. It's actually full of energy. So instead of being like kind of a quiet, empty lake, it's more like the froth at the base of a waterfall or something.
Now, we've all been taught that in an atom, electrons orbit the nucleus like planets orbit the sun. And in a vacuum with no resistance, the orbits of electrons should be predictable, but they're not. In 1955, Willis Lamb won the Nobel Prize for discovering what's become known as the Lamb shift. Now, in simple terms, Lamb discovered that electrons in hydrogen atoms were being disturbed by something. He discovered complex interactions between the electron and the vacuum of space itself. Space is teeming with quantum particles that blink in and out of existence. And when they do that, they use and create energy. A lot of it.
Well, when you go to look at the numbers, you find out that there's enough energy in the volume of a coffee cup to evaporate all the world's oceans if you could get it all of it.
Enough energy to boil and evaporate all the oceans on Earth from a coffee cup of empty space. This energy is called zero-point energy. And it's generated from the zero-point field. Nikola Tesla, Nikolai Kazyarev, and other scientists called this field the ether. The ether is a field in which everything exists, but it exists in a dimension that our brains can't perceive. Particles blinking in and out of existence have to be coming from and going somewhere. That place is the ether, the base layer of reality. But even though we can't see it, this layer can be disrupted with electromagnetism. Tesla famously said, "If you want to find the secrets of the universe, think in terms of energy, frequency, and vibration." He tried to harness energy from the zero-point field using the tower he built on Long Island.
Tesla Link Blue!
Now, Tesla's Wardenclyffe Tower tapped into this endless supply of energy. The tower was considered an over-unity device. An over-unity is when something gives out more energy than is put in. Now, mainstream science claims this is impossible, again, because it breaks the second law of thermodynamics. But for over 100 years, scientists and inventors have proved that claim wrong. Zero-point energy devices also violate the conservation of energy, that energy can't be created or destroyed. But those inventors don't claim to be creating energy from nothing. They are tapping into the energy that already exists everywhere all around us. In the 1970s, Howard Johnson created the magnetron motor. It used hydrogen, magnets, light rays, and fusion to create electricity. Now, according to practical physics, his invention was impossible. But here's the thing. His motor worked, and he proved it over and over again. Still, he was denied a patent.
The dilemma facing Johnson is not really his dilemma, but rather that of other scientists who have observed his prototypes. The devices obviously do work. but the textbooks say they shouldn't. Johnson is saying to the scientific community that this is a phenomenon that seems to contradict some of our traditional beliefs. For all our sakes, let's not dismiss it outright, but take the time to understand the complex forces at work here.
Johnson didn't get his patent and was shunned by the scientific community. Now, Howard Johnson wasn't a weekend garage tinkerer. He was a government contractor. He worked on atomic energy projects. He made equipment for the military. He already had over 30 patents for chemistry and physics devices.
Science and physicists are especially determined to protect the law of conservation of energy. Thus, the physicists become game wardens who tell us what laws we can't violate. In this case, they don't even know what the game is, but they are so scared.
Johnson's motor would lose less than 2% efficiency in almost 20 years of continuous operation, but he stopped working when someone broke into his shop and stole his equipment. He got the message. Thomas Murray also invented a device that could tap into the zero-point field. His machine could generate 50,000 watts of power with no energy input, another invention that broke the laws of physics. Murray tried to patent his invention. He was denied. They told him there's no such thing as free energy. But still, the U.S. government was interested.
And that's when things go downhill?
Yep.
Uh-huh.
His lab was vandalized and robbed. He and his family survived multiple assassination attempts. It got so bad, he bulletproofed his own car. Now, despite the ongoing threats, Murray publicly demonstrated the success of his machine in 1940. It continuously produced an output of 250,000 volts with no input. Well, that was the last straw. The next day, someone broke into his lab and attacked him. He only survived because at this point, he was carrying a pistol everywhere. But it didn't matter. Murray's assistant turned on him and destroyed everything. Equipment that would be worth millions today. Officially, Murray's assistant went crazy, but it sounds like somebody got to him. Murray died broke, and he took his technology to the grave. Edwin Gray had a similar story. Gray created an electromagnetic motor that ran continuously on its own power. And like all zero-point devices, it didn't generate heat. The input was 26.8 watts. The output, over 7,000 watts. Gray's machine was tested and verified by multiple scientists.
Gray started developing this idea 8 years ago. For the past year and a half, he's been trying to get someone in the U.S. government interested. So far, he's had little luck.
After he contacted the government, let me see. Things went downhill, right?
Yep.
Uh-huh.
Within a week, local authorities performed an illegal raid on Gray's lab. They confiscated everything. Not long after that, Gray was found dead in his home. All his records, inventions, and materials vanished without a trace. Now, most of these inventions were from the turn of the 20th century, over 100 years ago. Imagine the progress we could have made if this technology survived and the world had free energy this whole time. But that's the thing. These stories happened so long ago that it's difficult to picture them as anything more than stories. I know you want to see video of one of these things operating. You want to see light bulbs and motors turning without wires and without plugs. You want to see one of these zero-point machines for yourself, don't you? You got it. Floyd Sweet was nicknamed Sparky because he was fascinated with electricity. He dreamed of a device that could take energy from the vacuum of space. So after retiring in the 1980s, he made one. He called it a vacuum triode amplifier, or VTA.
So we have a 120-volt fan. As you can see, it's turning at good power. It is providing quite a breeze, and it's real, usable power.
Sparky's machine could do more than operate a fan. He fed it 0.3 milliwatts and produced almost 224,000 watts. This was continuous on-demand power. If you attach more equipment, it would simply harness more power. No limit.
And here, just coming into view, you see five 100-watt lamps, ordinary garden variety household lamps, brilliantly lit. So there's 500 watts of very real power here, again, coming right out of the vacuum.
224,000 watts from a box about the size of a deck of cards. That's enough to power your house, recharge your electric car, or light up a baseball field. It doesn't matter what you connect. The zero-point field will give you all the power you need.
This is real, usable power. It's stable. It is not transient. It is not noise. And it is not any other kind of spurious effect. This is a real effect. It's all coming from that little tiny box sitting behind the 500 watts of power, behind the lamps. That little box is putting out all of that power, well over 500 watts, and yet it is receiving less than one-third of a milliwatt of input power.
So Sparky filed a patent.
Uh-oh.
Yep, you know how this goes. Well, at the grocery store, a well-dressed man approached Sparky and showed him a photograph. It was a picture of Sparky and his wife in their house, taken from outside. Someone had been watching them.
He walked me all the way to my building, telling me what would happen to me if I didn't stop my research. How they took that picture through my window, I'll never know.
Sparky reported the incident to the FBI.
Oh, that's like the hens calling the wolf for help.
It was. Things got worse. Sparky and his wife started getting harassed. Their phone rang hundreds of times a day from payphones all over the country. The call stopped when someone broke into Sparky's lab and stole his notes. Then, one night, two men stopped by to speak to Sparky and his wife. The men left, and about an hour later, Sparky collapsed. Frantic, his wife called an ambulance, but when they loaded Sparky, they refused to let his wife in the ambulance. 20 minutes later, she got a call. Sparky was dead. Heart attack. Less than 24 hours later, a few black vans showed up at the house. The FBI confiscated all Sparky's equipment and research, and that's the last we've heard about it. But Sparky's VTA did more than create unlimited power. It could levitate. A retired Army officer and nuclear physicist named Tom Bearden met with Sparky. He was intrigued by the VTA's potential. Bearden asked Sparky to do an anti-gravity experiment with it, and it worked. The VTA weighed about 6 pounds. They reduced the weight of it by 90%. According to Bearden's theory, gravity can become a pushing force rather than a pulling force, and that's exactly what the VTA did. Zero-point energy, anti-gravity. Now, if this sounds like UFO technology, that's because it is. Richard Doty says zero-point energy devices have been recovered from UFOs, and they operate a lot like Sparky's VTA.
What this was an energy device that used zero-point energy. That's what they referred it to, as zero-point energy. And it was connected in such a manner that this device could power, from a very small flashlight or a very small watch up to a city. And the power was determined by what the demand on it was. So each craft had one of these.
Anti-gravity technology is another reality that's been suppressed for years. And researching anti-gravity, even for the U.S. government, is very, very dangerous. According to multiple inventors, many of which are now dead, alien technology might not be so alien after all. Italian researcher Johnny Dotto created a large ring to go around the human body. Its purpose was to alter DNA to reverse aging. Now, made of heavy copper, the Dotto ring manipulates the magnetic field around a human body using gravity and frequency. It was inspired by the Hunza Valley in Pakistan, where people rarely get sick and routinely live for over 100 years. Now, most researchers say their longevity is because of exercise and a healthy diet. But Dotto had a different theory. He said the extreme heat from the valley and the cold from the nearby glacier created a magnetic anomaly in the area. This protects DNA and slows the aging process. The Dotto ring was even tested at Sloan Kettering Hospital. It successfully lengthened the subject's telomeres, the part of our DNA that shortens as we age. The ring worked. And just like Sparky's device, Dotto's device could levitate. Then the FDA became involved.
And everything went downhill.
Yep, they shut down Dotto's research. Not long after that, Dotto was hit by a car that ran over him multiple times. The levitating, age-reversing Dotto ring vanished. T. Townsend Brown used a high voltage and electromagnetic field to create a lift effect. This allowed an object to move at high speeds, free of the force of gravity. Brown made a flying saucer.
As with many other promising inventions developed during the Cold War years, the National Secrecy Act prevented scientists like T. Townsend Brown from commercializing or even publicizing any technology which could potentially be interpreted as having a military application.
Now, anti-gravity or anti-gravitic technology was popular in the 1950s. The United States and Canadian governments were both working on anti-gravitic technology. They farmed this work out to well-known aerospace companies like Lockheed Martin, Convair, Bell, and Lear. The research was actually out in the open and created a buzz. People were excited about the new G engines and how this technology would revolutionize traveling. They talked about how everyone could have a flying car. Airplanes wouldn't need any fuel to fly. This is one of the last public mentions of anti-gravity technology.
Lawrence D. Bell, the famous builder of the rocket research plane, says, "We're already working with nuclear fuels and equipment to cancel out gravity. And William Lear, the autopilot wizard, is already figuring out gravity control for the weightless craft to come." According to the gravity research engineers, the G engine will replace all other motors.
After that, everything went dark. So, what happened? What happened was the military contractors got anti-gravity to work, and they wanted the technology all to themselves. After working at the Center for Space Plasma and Aeronomic Research, Dr. Ning Li started her own anti-gravity research company, AC Gravity. In the early 1990s, she published research papers on anti-gravity. This drew attention from the U.S. government.
And then everything went downhill.
Yep. In 2001, Ning Li received a grant from the U.S. Department of Defense for over $400,000 to continue anti-gravitic research. Then, Ning Li disappeared. Now, some people think she returned to China to work for them, but others say she was caught up with her work at the DOD. Some family members recall that she seemed extremely stressed during that time. She used to love her research, but she did not like working for the DOD. But in 2014, 13 years later, Ning Li reappeared out of nowhere.
I didn't see that coming.
And then she was hit by a car.
That I saw coming.
She suffered permanent brain damage. Ning Li's whereabouts during those missing years is still a mystery. But my guess is the Department of Defense knows exactly where she was. But they'll never tell, and nobody's gonna ask. Free, clean, unlimited energy. Anti-gravity. Science fiction technology that some people claim is real. But is it? Well, search Google and Wikipedia, and they'll list most of these inventors as charlatans, liars, and frauds.
Of course, that's what they say. They're in the pocket of the shadow government.
I can't argue with that. So let's go through a few. Stan Meyer, the man who invented the water-powered car, receives a lot of scrutiny, probably because his story is so well known. Now, despite his claim of being poisoned, doctors said his cause of death was a brain aneurysm. Now, some poisons can cause an aneurysm, but his toxicology report showed no poison.
Fake report.
Well, his family thought so. Moray, Gray, Sparky, Ogle, and Johnson, they all had patented inventions that garnered the attention of powerful people, and they were all victims of violence. Some of them were no-name backyard inventors who happened to be good at electronics, but many were engineers or physicists with impressive credentials. And there's a lot of evidence to support their stories. Honestly, I covered just the most well-known inventors. There are many, many more. And most of them also died under mysterious circumstances. And in almost every case, their technology was seized and classified. Now, despite the evidence of these inventions working and the reality of quantum physics, there's a tremendous amount of pushback about zero point or alternate energy. Why? Mainstream academia, elected officials, and even the media say free energy is impossible. Any scientist who claims otherwise is attacked, sometimes professionally, but sometimes they're attacked physically. Why?
Money and power.
I was asking rhetorically, but yes, money and power. When Dr. Tom Vallone was working at the U.S. Patent Office, he came across inventions that could solve our energy and pollution problems. Inventions that could literally change the world and accelerate the progress of humanity. He became frustrated when he saw invention after invention slapped with a secrecy order.
Patent sequestering, which is actually called secretizing, public needs to know at least that every major military agency has a representative at the patent office.
And when Vallone blew the whistle, they fired him.
Just fired? I'm surprised this guy didn't get whacked.
Oh yeah, he better be watching his back.
Patent office in its current approach is it's actually breaking the law. It's trying to make happy the physicists who are with American Physical Society to keep them in power with their ideas, you might say, and withhold from public use good inventions that could solve our problems, like the energy crisis.
For over 100 years, these technologies have been suppressed, keeping society in a state of complacency, poverty, and pollution. The Federation of American Scientists spoke about suppression in 2010, calculating that in that year alone, 5,135 inventions were given a secrecy order. Most of these patents had to do with clean energy, anti-gravity, and alternative methods of propulsion. Over 5,000 in 1 year. So how many in 10 years? How many in 100? What technology is being hidden from us? The latest buzz phrase is green energy, or the green movement. That sounds nice. We all want a clean environment. But green energy, as currently defined, is a fad. No, that's not the right word. Green energy is a scam. Why suppress thousands, maybe tens of thousands, of inventions that could clean our planet and provide free energy for everyone on Earth?
For money and power.
Yep. There are literally hundreds of trillions of dollars at stake. So next time you're arguing with a friend or family member about climate change, remember the energy industry and the United States government want you to hate each other. Don't play into their hands. A declassified document made in the 1970s lists categories of inventions that are considered secret. One of those categories is for energy systems that are more than 70 to 80% efficient, and solar panels that are more than 20% efficient. If you patent an efficient energy or propulsion device, it gets slapped with a secrecy order. Do you want proof? In 1971, over 50 years ago, someone patented a solar panel that was 20% efficient. It was made secret. You could have had solar panels on your house for years, but you never knew they existed. Today, solar panels are only slightly better than 20% efficient. Imagine how much they could have improved if the technology had not been hidden for 40 years. So what about green energy? It's a scam. Green energy is not designed to do anything but line the pockets of politicians and the CEOs of the green energy companies that get billions of dollars of your money in the form of subsidies to research things like solar panels and wind farms. And by the way, solar panels only last about 15 to 20 years. Then they go into a landfill to decay, and that material is toxic.
Solar panels also produce tons of toxic waste. But even if we reduce this waste during manufacturing, solar panels eventually stop working, especially if they're poorly made in China. And when their lifespan is over, they leave behind toxic trash.
Then it seeps into our water supply. Scam. Wind farms barely produce any power, but they destroy the landscape, kill wildlife, and again, require an enormous amount of fossil fuels to build. Scam. Nuclear energy sounds great, no pollution. But when the nuclear material is discarded, it stays radioactive and deadly for thousands of years. Scam. Do you think your electric car is protecting the environment? It's actually making it worse. Over 80% of electricity comes from coal, oil, and natural gas. So yeah, your Tesla runs on coal. Scam. The amount of fossil fuels used to extract the raw materials to build electric cars causes a lot of pollution. And the lithium batteries that power them? Lithium mines are awful for the environment. Not to mention, most of the extraction of these materials is done with slave labor in terrible working conditions. Scam. Now, don't get defensive. This isn't your fault. The technology to fix this is there and has been for 100 years. So, do all these patents just sit on a shelf gathering dust, never to see the light of day? Oh no. A scientist named Salvatore Paes has multiple patents strikingly similar to allegedly impossible inventions. He's patented devices that use electromagnetic fields, vibrations, and quantum field fluctuations to manipulate gravity, mass, and energy. He has a patent that allows for faster than light speed travel. He has a patent that can change the course of asteroids through a magnetic field. And my favorite Salvatore Paes invention? He has a patent for a tiny solid-state device about the size of a deck of cards that can generate unlimited clean energy from the vacuum. So how come his inventions aren't suppressed? Well, because the patents are owned by or have been assigned to the United States Navy. Now, I'm sure that most clean energy anti-gravity inventors are frauds, but not all of them. I believe the technology does exist. And I believe it's being used right now by government contractors. However, these contractors don't work for the U.S. government. They work for the shadow government.
A shadowy government with its own Air Force, its own Navy, its own fundraising mechanism, and the ability to pursue its own ideas of the national interest, free from all checks and balances, and free from the law itself.
We have the technology to eliminate famine and heal the ecosystem, but that would derail the shadow government's agenda.
There is the government, constitutional government of the United States. And then there's this other secret government operation, which has more money, more power, more technology. It is a criminal enterprise. It is not sanctioned by the president, and it is not sanctioned by Congress. And yet they're using our tax dollars and are raping the planet and destroying the earth and impoverishing half the planet.
We could live in a world of abundance. No more wars for energy. But the shadow government becomes powerless in a world of abundance. They derive their power from scarcity because they control the resources. Resources that could be made completely free if we only had access to suppressed technology. So what's the solution? Elect new leaders? No. Our leaders are controlled by or in fear of the shadow government. They only care about being reelected and getting rich. All of them. And don't go to the media. They're in the pocket of the shadow government, whether they know it or not. So do we repeal the Invention Secrecy Act? Well, that will never happen. Nobody will risk their career voting for it. They'll say some inventions need to be hidden for national security. And whenever you hear that phrase, national security, remember, it's not your security they're protecting, it's theirs. The solution is simple, but it's not one inventors want to hear. If you create a free energy device that you can prove works, do not patent it. Publish your invention anonymously on the internet and make it freely available to everyone. Don't be foolish and think you can use the patent system to become rich. They will not allow it, and most likely, they'll kill you. Instead, share your technology first. You can change the world. I promise the money will be there. So to all you weekend tinkerers and free energy hobbyists, keep tinkering and keep inventing. But most of all, keep quiet. Thank you. Thank you so much for hanging out today. My name is AJ. That's Agglefish.
What's shaking, crispy bacon?
This has been The Y-Files. If you had fun or learned anything, do him a favor. Subscribe, like, comment, share. That stuff really makes him happy, and it helps the channel. Now, like most topics we cover here, today's was recommended by you. So if there's a story you'd like to see or learn more about, go to theyfiles.com/tips. Remember, The Y-Files is also a podcast. Twice a week, I post deep dives into the stories we cover here on the channel. I also post stories that wouldn't be allowed on the channel. Those are called Unredacted. The podcast is called The Y-Files Operation Podcast, and it's available everywhere you get your podcasts. Now, if you need more Y-Files in your life, and who doesn't? Actually, some people don't. But if you do, check out our Discord server. There are tens of thousands of people on there 24/7, and they're into the same weird stuff we are. It's a great community, it's a lot of fun, and it's free to join. Now, if you want to know what's going on with Y-Files, check out our production calendar. It's at yfiles.com/cal, and there we post our episode schedule, upcoming podcasts, live streams, meetups, everything. Now, special thanks to our patrons who make this channel possible. Every episode of The Y-Files is dedicated to our Patreon members. I don't deserve your support, but I'm so grateful for it. Every episode is dedicated to you. If you'd like to support the channel, consider becoming a member on Patreon. For as little as $3 a month, you get access to perks like videos early with no commercials, access to merch only available to members, plus you get 2 private live streams every week just for you. My camera's on, your camera's on, you can talk directly to me. It's a lot of fun. Another great way to support the channel is grab something from the Y-Files store.
I grab a Hagglefish t-shirt with my face on it, or a Fistable coffee mug that you can fill with a delicious beverage, perhaps one that's carbonated, or a hoodie with my face on it, or one of these squeezy stuffed animal Hagglefish talking Haggle. I can't even pronounce my own name during the plugs. Hagglefish talking fish toys.
Those are the plugs, and that's going to do it. Until next time, be safe, be kind, and know that you are appreciated.
Oh, 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 yeah. I played Polybius in Area 51. A secret code inside the Bible said I was. I love my UFOs and paranormal fun, as well as music, so I'm singing like I should. But then another conspiracy theory becomes the truth, my friends, and it never ends. No, it never ends. I got stuck inside Mel's home with MK Ultra. I've been only too aware. Did Stanley Kubrick fake the moon landing alone on a film set, or were the shadow people there? The Roswell aliens just fought the smiling man, I'm told, and his name was Cold. And I can't believe secret city underground. Mysterious number stations, planet Serpo 2, Project Stargate, and what the Dark Watchers found. We're in a simulation, don't you worry though. The Black Knight satellite, it told me so. I can't believe